6 minutes after 11 o'clock. Pardon me. Not quite Vuvuzela. Just a little flip. 6 minutes after 11 o'clock. We decided to move the feature. I don't know why, just because I thought it was better at 11 o'clock. So that's it. Have no fear. Our nutritional consultant, healthy living expert, Pam Colleen, joins us. Hello, Pam. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent. Now, it was late last week that a judge reversed the raw milk decision. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's regardless of what he had decided, actually, the battle would have continued because the ultimate goal is to actually change the law that was established in 1938. The decision that was made against Michael back almost 2 years ago now acquitted Michael on 19 charges related to his cow share. And what this judge did recently was basically overturn the decision that was made, and Michael is now being charged on 15 of the 19 counts.
Okay.
And ostensibly what that means is that, and I think this can be stretched to even local farmers, dairy farmers who might be drinking their own raw milk, which the vast majority of them do. But I think what that would mean is you cannot drink raw milk from your own cow even, because essentially what he negated, what he said, was not valid, were these cow share operations where people buy a share of the cow and drink their own milk, which legally is fine. It's not against the law to drink raw milk from your own cow, and this judge basically disregarded that.
Yeah, that's interesting, because as a farmer, whatever I produce on the farm, well, I don't know about anything I produce on the farm, but the milk situation was interesting because the law allowed a farmer and his family to consume the raw milk, and Schmidt tried to get around that by saying, well, if I have a co-op where we all are owners of the cows, therefore it extends the right for me as a 1/8 owner of a cow to drink that milk as well. And this is where the judge said, no, it doesn't. And now you're fearful that it goes even further and says, maybe we can't even have farmers get that exemption.
Well, but you see, farmers, vast majority of them have admitted that they're drinking their own raw milk. They're not technically allowed to do that, of course, because of the quota system, because of government regulations. But they do. Regardless of what the regulations stipulate, they still drink their own raw milk. And so my question would be is, are these farmers, are these members of the DFO, are they breaking the law as well? I mean, you have to equate this to heroin, cocaine, and, street drugs. It's against the law to use these drugs, and now it's against the law to
consume this product,
raw milk. And yet, Michael was charged under the crown, under the Queen of England, and the Queen of England drinks raw milk. Prince Harry and Prince William were raised on raw milk, and Michael is being charged under the crown.
Now, how often do you drink raw milk? What was your first raw milk experience? Because I'm a milk guy, and I'm a little uneasy about raw milk.
Oh yeah, sure, I was too. I mean, I lived in a community, an agricultural community, and I think it was over 10 years ago now. Some dairy farmers came to me and gave me some raw goat milk, and I thought, oh, that's disgusting. I could never drink that stuff. It's going to kill me. It's full of germs.
And, who knows? Yeah.
And I just kind of politely accepted their gift because they gave me a big jar of this stuff, and I think I ended up throwing it down the sink because I thought they were crazy. I thought, oh my God. I mean, this stuff is deadly, right?
They must not like me. They're trying to poison me.
Yeah, I mean, I really, was very uncomfortable with the notion of drinking raw milk at first. And then, it was just pure coincidence, I started meeting more and more farmers, in particular dairy farmers, and they started educating me about raw milk because they all drank their own raw milk. And I tell you, they were fighting fit, as they say in Australia. They were very, very healthy. And so I took it upon myself to start doing my own research because I didn't know what to believe. And so I dug very, very deeply into a lot of research, books that have been written on the subject and everything. And then I started using my common sense and said, my ancestors would have consumed raw milk. And they were very, very healthy. So, then I started treading very lightly, started drinking some raw milk very slowly, had no adverse effects. I wasn't, keeling over with pain in my gut or getting struck down by lightning or anything. I mean, I was perfectly fine. I started drinking raw milk, and even to this day, I still drink raw milk.
Where do you get it from?
I can't tell you, Tom.
All right. Good. All right. But you were able to, I guess, and I mean, you're involved in the farming community. And you know what? It's just like here in St. Catharines or in the Niagara region, we have people who grow chickens or raise chickens in their backyard and just won't tell you on the air where they're located because they don't want, you know, I can understand that. But I mean, when we look back at the history of pasteurization, it was brought in for a reason, though, wasn't it? I mean, we can't say, oh, Louis Pasteur, he was crazy. There was a connection between raw milk and disease, you know, tuberculosis.
And even death.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why Pasteur, when we thought, what a breakthrough. You're killing all these dangerous pathogens. This is amazing for milk. But what does pasteurization do, and how do we balance out safety with health concerns?
Well, let's go back about 100 years ago before we knew as much as we know today about sanitation and hygiene.
Okay.
When we go back 100 years, there's no question that, you know, there were some unethical farmers that were doing these stall-fed inner-city dairy operations, and they were feeding cows, what was known as distillery slop or swill from local distilleries or brewery slop from local breweries. And these cows are not designed to eat grain. They're designed to eat grass. And so in these inner city dairies, these cows were raised in filth. And the milk that they were producing was just dirty milk. And unfortunately, if you drank this milk, yes, you did stand the risk of getting sick or even dying. And around that time, there was about a 50% mortality rate in and among children. And keep in mind that you had, at the time, two different types of milk going on. You know, we had, in the United States, for example, they had in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, they had dairy operations throughout the landscape. And you didn't see this problem because the cows were pasture fed. You didn't see this high infant mortality rate. You saw very, very healthy children, and they were producing clean milk from cows that were very, very healthy. But where the problem was unique was in these inner city stall fed dairy operations. And so what the farmers were doing is they were also diluting the milk with all sorts of, suspicious substances, including unclean water. So and keep in mind, Tom, this is before we started chlorinating and filtering our water systems, right?
Right?
So these farmers, unfortunately, were diluting milk with unclean water, and that, too, was causing the spread of disease. And so what happened was, coincidentally, we started cleaning our water. We started filtering and chlorinating our water, and in around that time, we also started pasteurizing milk, and we don't really know what caused the reduction in infant mortality, whether it was a combination of one or both of these events, but infant mortality rates plummeted after those two events. So both pasteurization and cleaning up our water supply helped to contribute to the decline in infant mortality. And then following this stage in our history, of course, these pasteurization laws were implemented here in Canada in 1938 with the Milk Act. And we didn't have the knowledge that we have today in and around, producing good, clean, raw milk. We didn't have, refrigeration like we have today, for example.
Okay.
So there's a lot of improvements that we've seen in technology and in science over the last 70 or 80 years. And unfortunately, the law doesn't take that into account, that we've made this wonderful progress.
So it may not have been necessarily the milk, but the conditions with which the cows were raised and some of the practices of the farmers selling that milk.
Right, and let's be clear, these are these inner city stall-fed dairies that had the problem. So in big cities like New York, Philadelphia, Boston, things like that, this is where you saw the problem. And so, and on the other hand, there were raw milk advocates in and around this time. I'm talking about 100 years ago. There were a lot of medical doctors who were absolutely adamant that pasteurization should be stopped, and they were certifying raw milk at the time. In fact, they had a certification program installed where medical doctors would go and basically check out, analyze a cow, make sure she was healthy, and they would okay that milk, and that would be raw milk from a certified cow. And so the doctors were speaking out because they wanted their sick patients and their children, the children that they were treating, to have access to raw milk because they saw nothing but benefit from consuming raw milk. And even the Mayo Clinic, Tom, the most prestigious medical center in the world, potentially, had something called the milk diet. And they would use raw milk to help treat people who had everything from cancer to chronic fatigue.
Hmm. Well, we got to take a quick break, Pam. We'll talk more about raw milk, and especially, you know, we've gotten into the history of it, why we had to have the Milk Act, but why we can go, maybe give me your thoughts about why we should be going back to raw milk, and what's in raw milk? Mm-hmm. What is it that you think that we don't get enough of that raw milk provides? 16 minutes after 11 o'clock. My name is Tom McConnell. I'm joined by Pam Colleen, and today we're talking about raw milk. Pam is a nutritional consultant who joins us every couple of weeks to talk about developments in the field of nutrition and eating healthier for your body, and as well, if you have a question for Pam, she gladly entertains your questions. 905-688-2582, 1-877-610-2582, #610 on the Bell Mobility Network. Email mcconnell@astral.com. 21 minutes after 11 o'clock, nutritional consultant Pam Colleen joins us on the program. Pam, we've talked about, you know, the history of pasteurization and how, you know, we have to balance out health for drinking something that's healthy versus safety and why pasteurization came about. And you've a compelling story about, you know, where it seemed to be problematic. But pasteurization, okay, first of all, are there other methods? There's the ultra-fine filtration method. There's other means of pasteurization. Are there different ways we can get pathogens, potential pathogens, out of milk?
Well, let me tell you a story. And this was an experiment that was done out in California with Mark McAfee from Organic Pastures Dairy, and he went to a lab. And what they did was they studied the differences between putting a pathogen in raw milk versus pasteurized milk. Now, raw milk, if, of course, it's from a healthy cow and so on, and this is what we want to make sure we're getting our raw milk from a healthy cow, that when you put a pathogen in raw milk, the pathogen will not proliferate. It will not grow. But if you take that same pathogen and you put it in pasteurized milk, there's no immune system in that milk. It's been killed off, basically. So the pathogen will proliferate in pasteurized milk. So there are some powerful immune-enhancing properties to raw milk that basically are either totally obliterated or minimized, reduced in pasteurized milk. There are also some nutrients that are going to be either destroyed or reduced in pasteurized milk. And Michael Schmidt did an experiment of his own, and he took two calves, and he fed one calf raw milk and the other pasteurized milk. And you can go online and just type in, Google in a tale of two calves, and you'll see the differences, the incredible differences between these two calves in terms of their physical health, everything down to their stature, their growth, and even the hair, their coat, and so on. And just the calf that was fed the raw milk was infinitely healthier than the calf that was fed pasteurized milk.
When we look at what is in raw milk that we're missing in pasteurized milk, and one of the things, let me ask, is when we think of I'm trying to think of the flora in our gut.
Mm-hmm.
Can't we? I mean, now we can take a supplement to restore that flora. Wouldn't that be just the same as taking, well, I can drink pasteurized milk and get the bacteria that I need in a supplement? Wouldn't that be the same?
There's a whole range of nutrients that you'd get from raw milk that you wouldn't get from just a supplement focusing on probiotics. So you're going to get some of the healthy fats that I always talk about on your show. You're going to get some minerals. You're going to get some.
Okay, but aren't the fats, if I drink whole milk or if I drink cream or if I drink cheese, mm-hmm. don't I get those fats?
Yes, you would.
Okay.
You would. So, I mean, raw cheese, of course, you're going to get wonderful benefits from consuming raw cheese, which is not illegal here in Canada. But I want to talk about a study that just was released. It was a large European study that was just published in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology. And what these researchers found was that children who drink raw milk have less asthma and allergies. So this is not the first time this type of research has been done. This is a newly published study, but it piggybacks other studies that have shown the same thing. And my argument would be in a free world where we have choice over what we want to consume, raw milk or pasteurized milk. And if I had a child who had allergies or asthma, and I thought that feeding my child raw milk might help, as is indicated in this published research, then, I mean, I think it's worth a try versus, you know, going a lifetime of struggling and possibly taking drugs that have adverse effects. So when you look at the last 10 years since I've been drinking raw milk, according to the research, they're saying that every year here in Canada, 20 children and 500 adults will die from asthma. So over the last 10 years since I've been drinking raw milk, about 200 children and possibly 5,000 adults have died from asthma. And what if they knew about any kind of benefit by drinking raw milk? And they wouldn't have known, unfortunately, because like most like me, I thought raw milk was dangerous and devastating.
Now, do we have numbers? Because we pasteurize milk because, you know, it can be a dangerous product. And this is still the health claim of the Ontario government that we had the Milk Act and we had pasteurization to make sure that milk was certified and safe and that consumers could be assured. Do we even collect numbers in terms of incidents involving raw milk these days?
Yeah, well, what happens is, now, Dr. Ted Beals, who's a pathologist in the United States, he collected the data from the government. This is data that he collected directly from the government.
Okay.
And he calculated that there were an average of about 42 illnesses per year from drinking raw milk in the United States. Now, this is based on about 9 million people in the United States drink raw milk.
So 42 out of 9 million. Okay.
42 illnesses on average per year with 9 million raw milk consumers. And so basically what he was able to do with number crunching was figure out that you are 35,000 times more likely to become ill from other foods than you are from raw milk. See, raw milk is an inherently safe product if the cow is raised properly. We are not saying that people should be drinking raw milk from factory-fed cows, factory-farmed cows. They're essentially, what raw milk consumers want is they want the choice to go into a store and say, I want raw milk, and the consumers who want pasteurized milk can get it. And that pasteurized milk comes from factory-farmed cows generally. And these cows, of course, the milk that comes from these cows is going to have a very, very high bacterial count. Because as I said earlier, cows should not be fed grain. So, you know, it's the difference between the two milks, and farm fresh raw milk is a uniquely different food than milk that would come from a factory farm cow.
All right. If I'm not willing to get raw milk, but are there products, as you said, can I get it in yogurt? Can I get it in cheese? What are raw milk products that I can legally buy now?
Well, you can get raw milk cheese, and that's perfectly legal, and that way you'll get a lot of the same value that you would get from drinking raw milk. But yogurt, you just make sure if you're buying yogurt or kefir that it's high in fat. It will, both of those kefir and yogurt will be pasteurized, though.
Okay. All right. So yogurt, if I don't know a raw milk farmer, yogurt and cheeses both can contain raw milk, and that will have the same healthy benefits that you're touting.
Well, what I do is I go to my farmer, you know, and I get my raw milk and I make my own kefir, for example. But, you know, always just choose the best you can under the conditions. If you buy yogurt in the grocery store today, unfortunately, a lot of those yogurts are nothing more than just plain pudding. I mean, they're really not that healthy for you.
Pam, always a pleasure. Take care.
Thanks so much, Tom. Take care.
Always insightful. The raw milk. And see, I'm a milk guy. But you know why? Because I know there's a taste between the fine filtered milk and the pasteurized milk. And I don't like the fine filtered milk. I like the taste of the pasteurized milk. I'll have to try it one day. I'll have to have a cup. All right? Anyone else drink raw milk out there? Let me know what your experiences are. Anyone else drink raw milk? 905-688-2582, 1-877-610-2582, #610 on the Bell Mobility Network. Email McConnell at astral.com. Rod Mahood, next with the news on 610 CKTV.